Mesdames, c'est nos choix.
Riz.
Et du palais, melat, melat, et tout est siou. Siou, n'est pas même chez Oxal, Charlie Patoné. Rotiste à Prava, Vogue. Красно.
Радиска згодбе о людях, ти устваряю дух часа на радио студент.
Drage poslušalke in dragi poslušalci, pozdravljeni pri poslušanju današnje oddaje Zeitgeist, kjer bomo osvetlili aktualno politično dogajanje v Turčiji. Ko smo nedavno obiskali Istanbul, nam je dal uvid v visoko emancipacijo politične želene v tamkajšnjih mladcev in mladenk. V današnji oddaji pa se bomo pogovarjali o nedeljskih lokalnih volitvah, o vlogi političnih strank in o kompleksnosti politične in kulturne usmerjenosti turške družbe. A srednjo točko oddaje pa bomo posvetili pogovoru mladega aktivista v Istanbulu Elkina, ki je član kolektiva kolektivne lokalne skupnosti. Se kolektivom pa so nedavno zasedli dotično hišo, ki se daj služi kot nekakšen odprti prostor za stajniške skupine in jo poimenovali po nedavno preminujem mladoletniku Berkinu Evanu. A več o tem v drugem delu oddaje. Sedaj pa nekaj o politični sliki v Turčiji. Nedeljske lokalne volitve so namreč pokazali, da je še kako politično življenje prisotno v Turčiji. Volitev naj bi se udeležilo, oziroma lokalnih volitev naj bi se udeležilo kar 90% volilnih upravičencev in upravičenk. A ta zgodba o visoki prisotnosti političnega življenja v tamkajšnjega ljudstva sega že v čas Osmanskega imperija. Namreč moški so že posedali že takrat pred večjimi stoletji v kavarnah, kjer so premlevali različne zgodbe o takratnih sultanih in o vladajočih. A to seveda sultanom ni bilo všeč, zato so te kavarne dale zapirati, saj so možje kazali pretirano zanimanje za politiko. Te kavarne pa so bile točke političnega in državnega življenja. To pa lahko pokažemo paralelo z nedavnim dejanjem trenutnega premiera Recepa Tayyipa Erdogana, ki je pred lokalnimi volitvami omejil uporabo Twitterja ter YouTubea. A kljub lanskoletnim protestom, ki smo jih lahko spremljali preko različnih medijev in domnevali, da pada neka popularnost Erdoganove stranke, pa so rezultati trenutnih volitev pokazali, da je v bistvu Erdoganova stranka za pravičnost vedno bolj priljubljena, namreč na lokalnih volitvah je dobila kar 45% glasov, medtem ko je na zadnjih lokalnih volitvah leta 2009 dobila 38%. Nekaj več o nedeljskih volitvah in o strukturi turških strank nam je popovedal sociolog, poznavalec moderne družbene politične Turčije, Sezai Ozan Zajbek.
I think there are so many different ideas right now. I don't think there is one kind of political explanations of what's going on, but the thing is that for the rest of the society, and I mean the other half, there's a big disappointment, except perhaps the Kurdish party, but for the AKP winners, it's another Erdogan period, and this will perhaps at the local elections, this was about municipal elections, but it turned out to be somehow the legitimation of the government because of the recent, you know, tapes and corruption stories, and there is another tape audio recording from inside the foreign minister was talking about going to Syria and bombing Turkish soil so that we can start a war with Syria. All those conversations, all those tapes and corruption stories somehow become legitimate, and it's not perhaps legitimate, it turned into a lie for the other half of the society. So in that sense, there is not one not one opinion, not one kind of, let's say, agreement on what's going on right now. And for the Kurdish case, for the Kurdish party, there's a whole another story. Perhaps they're just struggling with the within the political arena for the last almost 20 years now, and they had some gains. They got some of the some new districts in Turkey, mostly in southeastern part of Turkey, but on the west, they only got in Istanbul, for example, they only got 3.3%, which is perhaps another disappointment, and that would perhaps show that in the west, in Turkey, the Kurdish issue is still a, I don't know, it's not a marginal issue, but it's not really a party. It couldn't turn itself into a party, a political organized party for the Turkish people, perhaps. So the elections really showed a lot of things. So it's really difficult to just give the opinion right after the elections, what's going on, what will happen next, and etc. These are really, really hard questions. Most of the people wouldn't know that.
Turkish people are much involved in daily politics. While they're talking, most of the time they're talking about politics. 85% of people usually attend elections. There is much diversity between the oppositional parties. It seems that only Erdogan's party has this real structure, you know, head and a tail, as we say. The other parties seem to be divided between their inner diversities and ideas. Do you think this is also a problem?
This is partly a problem, yes. I mean, the opposition party, there is an opposition party. The opposition party is really strange because many people in Turkey would not vote for the opposition party. They vote for it because it seems it's seemingly the only option, but there is a lot of diversity even within that party. AKP, in that sense, even though there are a lot of diversities as well, it doesn't show up. It doesn't turn into a kind of rupture, division, and etc. So in that sense, yes, that observation is true. But the other thing that you said at the beginning is perhaps far more important, which is we talk a lot in our everyday life about politics, which is perhaps in a way good, because it's good to be aware of those things and going to elections, and Turkey has one of the highest rates of voting in the world. So in that sense, it's something positive, but on the other hand, the way we talk about it, it's just like this kind of big, important, influential people, usually men, do things, decide over us, and just have this kind of corruption stories and all sorts of stuff. And I guess apart from voting, Turkey is has this kind of problem of not really getting organized in a political way and trying to change things apart from voting, apart from elections. So it is a big problem. We talk about it a lot. We talk about it and we get disappointed and we just want to change things. We don't know how. That's the other sign. That's Turkey is, again, one of the least organized countries within Europe. Least organized, I mean, as political parties, as NGOs. The political participation in the NGOs, in the political parties, and whatever, those kind of organized institutions, Turkey has the lowest rates in that way. So talking is good in a way, but on the other hand, it's just this kind of problem of not being able to do anything about it, about the stories and all.
Omenili smo, da ima območje današnje Turčije že dolgo zgodovino političnih debat. A to je le posledica polarizacije znotraj turške družbe. O razlogi za polarizacijo pa nam dalje razlaga ponovno Sezai Ozan Zaybek.
There seems to be a very sharp polarization within the Turkish society, which I find a little bit problematic. That language, I mean, this, on the one hand, there is this type of society, and I did that as well, I mean, at the beginning of our talk, but the polarization is partly a result of the political setting, the political discourse in contemporary Turkey. There are more connections, I mean, this kind of hybrids, and some people who are religious in a way, but also on the other hand, very secular. They don't vote for the AKP party or the other way around. The division is really, it's very, very much mobilized for a political purpose, that these people, apart from us, these are dangerous people. That's the discourse of Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And we are here united and etc. All those kind of discourses somehow sets apart people. And I think the connections are still there. The way we can talk about issues, many other issues, the way we can talk about, for example, political change and climate change and all sorts of stuff. What I'm trying to say is that there are political areas, actually, that we have to really be able to come together, think together, which seems now very difficult because of this kind of polarization in Turkey. So Gezi Park incident, in that way, brought together, as it is written in many other journals and etc., brought together a diversity of people, pro-Kemalist students and Kurdish people and liberals and socialists and all sorts of people. There, it was kind of a bubble. It didn't really create a kind of interview, not necessarily an interview, a conversation, sorry. It didn't produce a kind of conversation. Socialists didn't become liberals, liberals didn't become socialists, and etc. Not that sort of thing, but it created some kind of moment in history where people just felt something together, that things could be different, that things could change. We didn't know the directions, we didn't know how it would take place, but that created a moment. There is something fundamentally wrong, and elections are not enough because we have to take the reins in our hands. We have to do things, change things, and etc. And it's possible. And elections are not enough. Parliamentary democracies and electing somebody, again, as I said, very big, influential men, these things would not be enough. So that is still have some kind of echoes. It's still there, that feeling. It's not entirely lost, but we have this kind of up and downs right now, of course, after the elections, the big disappointment in many people. It's just there, of course. I can't deny that, but I don't think this Park incident has lost its relevancy. As in all the transformations, there will be ups and downs, of course.
It seems to me that looking from quite far away, that unification is quite difficult in Turkey. I see many different worlds in Turkey. Let's say Istanbul is a world of its own, and in this world there are also different worlds, and then Izmir, and then Ankara, and then the Kurdish population in the east. It's quite incomprehensible for me to see the unification of all these different ideas and worlds in
Turkey. It is very difficult, and perhaps it has always been the case. I mean, we had this kind of illusion that Turkish people are one, and there's unity and national unity, and so actually, when we look at the Republican history from 1930s, starting 1930s, they had always this kind of silencing. The religious people, the Kurdish people, all sorts of minorities, and etc., they were excluded from the public realm. Not, you couldn't see them on TV, you couldn't see them on the national TV broadcasting, and etc., on newspapers, they hadn't had their own journals, and etc. So somehow we had this kind of, let's say, the illusion of unity. Now it is this time, at this particular moment in time, we realize actually Turkey has never been united at all, which is a positive thing perhaps, because we have to face with this fact. I mean, we don't have to be homogeneous. We don't have to be really, we are Turks and etc., let's come together and be. That was a big lie since the beginning. We have to be able to think about issues together. We have to act together on certain issues. That doesn't mean that we have to be unified in a way. That kind of illusion of the national unity and etc. With the Kurdish issue, it became another twist. I mean, we realized that actually Turkey doesn't belong to only Turks. We had to face this fact that there are other people. There had always been other people, but we somehow managed not to see it for a very long while. Now we have to see it, and that's what politics means. Not voting, again, I'm repeating myself, it's not about elections, electing some people and sending them to parliament, but how can we live together despite all those differences?
Nedavno meta socialnih omrežij Twitter in YouTube omejujeta možnost turške mladine, da izražajo svoje politične stališča in izražajo vsakodnevne probleme. Množičnost idej kulturno bogate turške mladine in ostalih prebivalcev, ki se že razlikuje v posameznih predelih oziroma okrožjih večjih turških mest, očitno hočejo turške oblasti utišati.
How can we make people to express themselves in general, and especially the youth. And that's a big problem. There are different neighborhoods in Istanbul, even within Istanbul. I mean, Istanbul is a really, it's a collection of, I would say, different people and opinions and all sorts of lifestyles. So in a way, even Istanbul is divided into different kinds of lifestyles. Ümraniye and Beyoğlu are two different worlds. And the activities and the way you can express yourself as a person, all those things differ from one neighborhood, I will say, to others. And we can see this kind of divisions also in the universities that are now newly established private universities, which is perhaps they don't, of course, call it that way, but somehow you see that this kind of segmentation of the society, religious people prefer one kind of university. Several universities that are known as being religious, but they don't, of course, declare it, but there are also some kind of secular universities. So that is somehow, we have to really open those channels where still communication continues. And division of universities, division of neighborhoods, and all those, all sorts of living spaces, habituses, this is somehow worrying me at least. How can we really open these kind of communication channels? How can we start making people start talking about issues, not necessarily in a everyday politics, not necessarily about everyday politics, but about all common burdens like unemployment, or as I said, political climate change, or the war in Syria. How can we really come together and think together, and how can we become troubled by the death of, for example, people in the Kurdistan? 8 people who died because during the Gezi Park incident, because those types of things could open some kind of common ground of conversation. People died. It's a common thing. You don't have to be religious or secular to really become troubled about these issues. People died because of police violence, and we should be able to open some kind of communication. That is bad, very basics, at the very basic level. That is somehow a tragedy, and how can we really change things, this police violence and state surveillance and etc., and make those things somehow the common ground to start to think, to be able to think a new kind of politics.
İşte bir sabah uyandığımda, ciao bella ciao bella ciao bella ciao ciao ciao, elleri bağlanmış. Buldum yurdumu, her yanı işgal altında. Elleri bağlanmış, buldum yurdumu, her yanı işgal altında. Sen ey partizan, beni de götür. Ciao bella ciao bella ciao bella ciao ciao ciao, beni de götür dağlarımıza, dayanamam tutsaklığa. Beni de götür dağlarınıza, dayanamam tutsaklığa. Eğer ölürsem ben partizanca, ciao bella ciao bella ciao bella ciao ciao ciao. Sen gömmelisin ellerinle beni, ellerinle toprağıma. Sen gömmelisin ellerinle beni, ellerinle toprağıma. Güneş doğacak, açacak çiçek. Ciao bella ciao bella ciao bella ciao ciao ciao. Gelip geçenler diyecek merhaba, merhaba ey güzel çiçek. Gelip geçenler diyecek merhaba, merhaba ey güzel çiçek. Gelip geçenler diyecek merhaba, merhaba ey güzel çiçek.
To je bila turška verzija vse znanega komada Bella Ciao, oziroma po turško Ciao Bella. Sedaj pa nadaljujemo se turško mladino in spomnimo se še najprej lanskoletnih protestov, ki so se odvili v parku Gezi. Lansko leto je namreč vladajoča turška vlada in še enkrat prav ponavljam ime premiera Recepa Tayyipa Erdogana v imenu modernizacije skušala porušiti park Gezi in na njegovo mesto postaviti trgovinski center, seveda po osmanskem vzorcu. A to je bila le pika na i uvajanje večletnih neoliberalnih praks, ki pa uničujejo dolgoletne skupne prostore v namene postavljanja sterilnih korporativnih potrošniških konstrukcij. Protesti, ki pa že trajajo od lanskega leta, a njihova multituda se postopoma zmanjšuje, pa so terjali več žrtev. O post-Gezi park situaciji v Istanbulu so nam povedali člani kolektiva lokalne skupnosti, ki so nedavno zajeli zapuščeno hišo, jo spremenili v odprti prostor za stajniške skupine in jo poimenovali po umrlemu 14-letniku Berkinu Elvanu. Prisluhnimo.
Ya aslında Gezi Parkı'nda yani AKP hükümeti zaten Gezi Parkı'nın tamamını işte terörist, işte çapulcu ya da işte bu tarz marjinal tarzında.
AKP government has marginalized and named all the Gezi Park protesters and who are go there to see around or address. He is named all of them as terrorists, marginals and çapulcu.
Çapulcu, what is çapulcu?
It's actually now in the dictionary you can find it, çapulink. AKP government and Erdoğan announced everyone as terrorists, as marginals, who are at the Gezi Park. And he said, I'm calling my normal citizens, you go home, I can deal with the other ones, he said before that. But he really dealt it. He killed the other ones also.
Kdo je mladoletnik Berkin Elvan? Namreč 14-letnik Berkin Elvan je bil žrtev policijske represije prejšnjo leto in postal simbol združevanja istanbulske vstajniške sfere. Elvin, predstavnik omenjenega odprtega prostora, ki ga odprla kolektiv lokalna skupnost v Istanbulu, pa nam je povedal več o razlogi za zasedbo dotične hiše. Povedal nam pa je tudi, zakaj so to hišo poimenovali po umrlemu mladoletniku. Elvin, nov diskurs pa seže nazaj v preteklost, že na sam začetek protestov v Turčiji.
Berkin Elvan, Gezi Parkı'nda.
Berkin Elvan has killed with the gas canisters which police is using at 12 July. He was stayed in coma and died week ago. But difference between the who was also killed by gas canisters or water cannons in Turkey, there was also seven other people who has killed during this process of Gezi protests.
Yes.
The significance of Berkin Elvan is he was just a kid who is going to buy bread from the market. And on the road, just coincidence with the police violence, extreme usage of violence, and this come to a kind of symbol to us.
Yani temel olarak da bu yüzden aslında buranın adını Berkin Elvan.
Basically, the significance that we are named after this Occupy House is Berkin Elvan Occupy House is have. That the feeling of these deep sentiments about what we feel after his death. But we have opened this Occupy House on the day of when the birthday, Ali İsmail Korkmaz's birthday. Ali İsmail Korkmaz is also who is killed during this Gezi Park by police with gas canister again and age 16 yaşında değil mi Ali İsmail?
18.
We just wanted to make them come together as this named after Berkin Elvan and opened at the day of the birthday of Ali İsmail Korkmaz.
Večkrat smo omenili, da je bila zasedena hiša Berkina Elvana v Istanbulu postala javni prostor namenjen združevanju mnogoterosti idej lokalnega prebivalstva. No, če jih oblasti preganjajo iz javnih prostorov, kot so ulice in trgi, so se pa te odločili zasesti skupen prostor, ki je paradoksalno nudi zasebnost, a s svojimi štirimi stenami tudi nudi zavetišče ter možnost enotnejšega političnega udejstvovanja. Na nek način je hiša Berkina Elvana tako postala istanbulski vstajniški štab.
bizim temel amacımız şeydi aslında. Yani
our main purpose in here to opening this occupying this house that all the people who are killed in Gezi Park during this Gezi Park process were the young people, very young people. In Turkey actually as a student amongst the students, we don't have any space that we can come together in solidarity with sharing. We can act and share anything else which we don't have. There's no such a place actually exists in Turkey. Mm-hmm. As occupying this house, we create a common space for us, for students, for people. And also by also as a in memory of who were killed during the Gezi Park process, and also we kind of quote from Gezi Park. We just wanted to symbolize how Gezi Park is occupied. Uh-huh. We occupied this house like this to create a new space for all of us.
Sedaj pa še nekaj mnen od aktivistične mladine o lokalnih volitvah, ki so se zgodile v nedeljo in na katerih je Erdogan ponovno potrdil svojo oblast. Ljudi v zasedeni hiši smo tako povprašali o njihovem pogledu na trenutno politično klimo v Istanbulu v širši Turčiji, o njihovem pogledu na demokracijo ter volitve, ter o položaju in pomenu lokalnih skupnosti smo jih povprašali, kakšno je njihovo mnenje.
In here we trust something that on the power of the streets. Okay, I'm also caring about, I'm also know the importance of the elections. I'm not saying I'm not giving any importance to that.
Ama dediğimiz gibi önemli olan bizim için yani Gezi Parkı'ndan çıkan o demokratik bir kamuoyunu yani demokratik istekleri ön plana çıkaran bir sokak hareketini geliştirmek. Yani çünkü genel olarak şu yani
important thing is here we really give importance here the powering the street movement which is come out from the Gezi Park resistance which is opening us to democratic public spaces to us. In that sense AKP's AKP government is reaching even in our rooms. The Twitter is banned two days ago.
Yes.
And even the abortion is banned in that process that we cannot hear about it in the direct sense. Our purpose in here, to the contrary, to the against the AKP and AKP's government, to raise public voice, to increasing society's chooses, and also supporting the parties who are supporting this society, actually the people.
It's important in the city big like Istanbul that people, like you said, small communities maybe to have this places like this and to live together, to do things together, and like a local community thing that has that is living together.
İstanbul gibi böyle büyük bir şehirde
kesinlikle önemli değil.
We are surging and examining the examples from the Europe in general. The happiest thing in this occupied house that we learned that the individuals who didn't know each other very well, but they come together in here. They organize quickly, suddenly. Even they didn't share anything else before, maybe, or didn't knew each other. But they come together here, began to share, and began to so close with this. And in this capitalist system, actually, capitalist system who is created alienated people to each other who are has distances amongst them this Occupy House make them closer and make them understand each other. And it has been 4 days we have occupied this house, and since these 4 days we are really happy to meet new people and share and destroying this alienation process amongst us.
Zeitgeist sva iz Radio Študent in iz ulic Istanbula pripravila Jakil in Marko. Tehniciral pa je Jure B. Čao.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, ne pa te samo ostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dolje se vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz prijem tam, pa premata, pa meniš. Pa tam dolje zagledam Madonna eno šo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv. Siv, ne ta nemški očaj, črni pa to ne. Prav tista prava govor. Krasno.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.